All right, thank you, Pastor Josh and choir and all those who participated. You brought forth a story. I want to continue on in that story a little bit. It's going to be a little different. My perspective is a little different than Pastor Josh's as he wrote this. About what transformed Peter's life. And I want to give that to you in a little bit different way because I believe a little bit differently in some of the things. I'm not dogmatic on it. You may disagree. But right now, I'd love to give you the possibilities. This possibility that I believe that Christ predicted that Peter would deny him six times, not three times. You say, well, I know what the Bible says. Well, hear me out. Hear me out. I think he said he would deny him three times and the cock would crow. And you'd deny him three more times and the cock will crow a second time, twice. It's of course impossible to be dogmatic on this as we look at this, as you heard in the story. But I believe it really happened that way. And so let me suggest to you the chronicle outline of those denials because I think this is what was life-changing for Peter. I know he met with Christ and the fishing and he came out and the Lord asked him, do you love me three times? I get all that. But I'm going to give you from my perspective, same story, what changed Peter's heart and changed his life. Again, after the scene in the garden, Peter and John arrive following him from afar into the courtyard of the high priest. John, who apparently had some connections with the high priest, he had some connections that were there that we can't explain or we're not 100% sure, but his family had connection with the high priest, and so he got into the courtyard. And then John entered the trial room itself where Jesus stood before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest. Now, Peter stands outside. He wasn't allowed in. He stands out in the courtyard. He's probably frightened and frustrated over the events of the last few hours, the rest of Jesus Christ and his fleeing and the things that happened and watching his fellow disciple betray Christ. So he walks over to a barrel of fire, which had been put there for the bondservants and the temple guards. And that's where we find in this courtroom, I think, the first three denials of Christ. As you saw in the story here, a servant girl who attended the door asked Peter, are you not one of this man's disciples? I'm sure I've seen you following him. Are you not one of his disciples? And Peter replied, absolutely, I know nothing about this man. Then if you follow the scriptures, a group of guards came to him. And they ask him the same question. We've seen you out and about. We've seen you with Christ. And probably these guards were the guards that were in the Garden of Gethsemane when they arrested Christ. They said, did not we see you with Christ? And Peter was pretty evident up there. He's the one who did take his sword. And Peter replied, I have nothing to do with him. Another servant girl of the high priest said, I know you were with Jesus of Nazareth, and you're a Galilean, and he's a Galilean. I know you're with Christ. And this time, a little more with an emphasis, Peter said, Woman, I know him not. I don't even understand what you're talking about. I know nothing about him. And I believe at this point, the cock crew once. But you know what? I don't think Peter heard it. I know you know what the scripture says, that you before you deny me thrice, the cock will crow. And exactly when he denied him three times, exactly what happened to scripture, but I don't think Peter heard the cock crow. Now, I think inside he knew he was wrong. I think inside he knew he was a little disappointed that he had denied Christ, but he was scared, he was frightened. He was struggling for his life. So I believe probably an hour or so later, he's still in the courtyard there, and a man and woman come up and accuse Peter, saying that we saw you with Jesus of Nazareth. We've seen you with him. We know you're with him. And once again, for the fourth time, Peter denies that he has any relationship with Jesus Christ. Then I believe in the fifth denial, and you would have to go through all the Gospels and compare them to find these different denials. A man and a servant girl said unto Peter, "Of truth, you were with him. We know, we saw you. You are a Galilean." And Peter denied all of it, emphatically. Then lastly, a bond servant, a relative of Malchus, that was the servant of Malchus that he cut off his ear. Jesus reached down and replaced it. And so this bond servant that was probably in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus took off his ear, was right near him. This bond servant said, I saw you. You were in the garden with him. You drew your sword. Surely you're a follower of him. Surely you're one of him. And even you're a Galilean, and even your speech confirms and betrays you. Peter gave the worst response then that he had given. He began to curse. He began to swear. And he said, "I know not this man of whom you speak. I don't even know who you're talking about." While Peter is denying, I believe the second of the three denials, the cock crew a second time. But at this point, again, I don't think Peter heard it. Oh, you know what the Bible says. You know that Jesus said, "Before you deny me thrice, the cock will crow." And he even said it would crow a second time. That was in the second set of denials. But I don't believe Peter heard it. And as you notice, and as the accusations became more and more specific and incriminating, Peter's denials became more intense and extreme. But here's what I want you to see. It was at this time that the Lord looked upon Peter. That's why in Luke chapter 22, verse 61, and said, and the Lord, well, in verse 60, and immediately why he spake the cock crew. But he didn't get it. There was a disconnect between the cock crowing and his denials. Stay with me. And in verse 61, it says, the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Apparently through a window overlooking the courtyard as Jesus was in the high priest's house. I don't know it doesn't matter if he could hear the denials of Peter. It doesn't matter because Jesus knew he was still God. I know he's 100% man, but he was still had his deity. He still was 100% God. So whether he heard it or not, he knew the denials took place. And the Bible says he looked out upon Peter. And that look must have penetrated. I think this is the life-changing for Peter. The look must have penetrated Peter's very soul, burning deep into his heart and the conscious of the evil of his sin. And I know the Bible says Jesus looked upon Peter, but you just have to assume because Jesus looked upon Peter, guess what? Peter looked upon Jesus. I think at that point their eyes met. And Peter looked upon Jesus. He saw the Lord standing there, probably with his hands bound, his face probably covered with spit and bruises and blood. It was more than Peter could bear. As he looked into the eyes of the Lord, for the first time he could see that Jesus was suffering from the most excruciating pain of his life. I don't know what the look Jesus gave to Peter was. I know it wasn't one of anger. Maybe a little bit of disappointment. Maybe a little bit of hurt. Because if you remember the story correctly, it was Peter who spotted out, "I will, though all men deny you, I will never deny you." But the Lord looked upon Peter with a look. And as Peter looked upon Jesus, I believe he saw Jesus at that point in a different light that changed his life. For the first time, Peter saw Jesus in light of his death and burial and resurrection. You see, up to this point, the disciples believed that Jesus had come for one reason. And what was that reason? To set up the kingdom. To conquer the Romans and set up the kingdom. And the disciples had a difficult time understanding. And time again, Jesus had told them, I didn't come to set up a kingdom. That's coming. But I came to die for the sins of the world. I came to provide a way for man to have eternal life, to become a child of God. And I've got to die, and I've got to bury, and I've got to be raised up again on the third day to conquer sin and to conquer death and to conquer hell and to conquer Satan. Time and time again, this was told to the disciples, but they had in their minds that Jesus had come to set up that kingdom for the Jews. Now, you and I know that kingdom is coming, and it's called the millennial kingdom, and it's coming one day. But that's not why Jesus came. That's why Peter, I think, had a tough time with everything. Because he didn't see the true purpose for Christ coming. But I think when he looked for the first time upon Jesus, I mean really looked, he saw the spit on his face, maybe some of the beard that had been plucked out, the bleeding of his face, his hands tied around behind his back, being unjustly accused and unjustly treated because Peter knew he did not sin. Peter knew he was the Messiah. He believed that. He said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But for the first time, I think this is the first time Peter saw Jesus Christ in light of the purpose that he came to this earth for, and it was to die and be buried and raise again. See, it was not until the Lord, or Peter saw the Lord's face and remembered the words of the Lord, that he came to his senses and acknowledged his sin and repented. See, this is what I want you to see, folks. Peter's sin, the denials, and I call that sin. He denied Christ, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. His sin didn't make him repent. I think people are very conscious in their sin today. I think there's people that walk in sin and they live in sin. I'm not saying they're wicked and totally immoral and they're robbing banks and everything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I think there's Christians walking in their sin today. And if you ask them, they would say, yeah, I know it. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not living like I need to live. And they admit it. And in reality, they even admit that they know there's probably some consequences for those actions and those sins. But the mere acknowledgement of sin sometimes drives a person deeper into despair and hopelessness and even deeper into sin. That's why some older preacher a long time ago sat me down one day and he said, true preaching is preaching the gospel, but it's not just simply preaching the gospel for people to turn from their sins, but it's lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ so they can see him as he is. You see, I think that's where Peter was. Because Peter heard the cock crow, but it didn't register. Oh, he knew probably what he was doing was wrong. He even probably knew that there might even be consequences. And he proceeded, I believe, to deny him three more times, and the cock crew a second time. But it didn't connect. Because sin doesn't cause repentance. Acknowledging sin does not cause repentance. Acknowledging that you're not living where Christ, that doesn't cause repentance. Here's what happened, though. I think there's two things that causes repentance in our lives. Number one, the first thing is when we look. When we look. Peter looked upon Jesus. And Peter saw Jesus at that point in a different light that he'd never seen him before. He'd always, up to this point, he'd seen Christ as the King, as an all-powerful God who could walk on water, who could feed the multitudes, who could heal the lame, who could cast out demons, who could cure the leprosy. Yes, he saw Jesus Christ as King, who would one day set up a kingdom for the Jews. But for the first time, I believe, in Peter's life, he saw Jesus in light of his death, his burial, and resurrection. The reality began to set in when he saw Jesus there with the blood on his face, the beard that was plucked, and the bruises from the beating. The sadness that was in the Savior's eyes as he knew what was coming. Peter saw Jesus Christ in a whole different light. In light of the cross of Calvary. You see, I think people today, they see Jesus. And Jesus as one who blesses. You know, I got to go to church because I want the blessing of God. I've got to give the tithe because I want the blessing of God. I can't do this and that because I want the... We see a God who, Jesus, a God who blesses, who even when we're sick, we pray. That's one time we do pray and heal for to be healed of our sickness because we know his power. We pray for others to be healed. We pray for family members. We pray for God and ask him to supply all our needs. But folks, we fail to see Jesus in light of the cross of Calvary. That's what changed Peter's life. That's why I believe God gave him the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I think that's why God took Peter and gave him the ability to go to Cornelius and spread the good news to the Gentile nations. It's why Peter had the power to help build the church. And he said, upon your testimony, Peter, that Christ is the Son of the living God, you're going to help me build my church. Why? What changed Peter? Folks, he looked upon Jesus and saw him in light of his death, his burial, and his resurrection for the first time. How often do we do that, folks? I know we, and I thank God for Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we call it. I thank God we set aside a weekend where we look at the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I wonder, it's so commercialized. The eggs, the Easter baskets, and I'm not ripping on that or angry on that or putting that down. But Easter's become a little bit of a celebration, a time to be with family, time to get together. That's why I think the Christianity is probably in the state it was, the same state it was for the disciples, because they didn't see Jesus in light of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But for the first time, I believe when Peter looked upon Jesus, he saw him in light of the resurrection. He saw him in light of his death. That Jesus had to go to the cross of Calvary and he was going to take your sins and my sins. And he was going to be beaten. And he was going to be scourged. And he was going to bleed. And he was going to die for the sins of the world. And while on that cross, he was going to take all the sins of mankind and they were going to be placed upon him. And for 3 hours, the land was going to go dark. For in those 3 hours, God was going to pour out his wrath upon Jesus Christ to pay the penalty for your sins and my sins. All of a sudden, for the first time, when Jesus looked upon Jesus, he saw him in a different light. I think that's where a lot of Christians are today. Oh, I think they know they're sinners. I think they know they're not probably where they should be. And they even admit that, and they would even admit that there's probably some consequences for that sin. I think that's where Peter was. Until he looked upon Jesus. Can I propose to you that that's what we need to do? On this Easter weekend, this Resurrection Sunday, we need to look upon Jesus in light of what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. That he suffered and that he died. He who was perfect and knew no sin became sin for us, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. God doesn't see your sin this morning. We talked about that early. Because Jesus Christ covered it all. See, that's what you need to do this morning. That's what you need to do this afternoon. You need to look at Christ in light of the death and his burial and the resurrection. You need to look at Christ like you've maybe never looked at him before. Oh, Peter was a great disciple. I mean, he's even one that got out of the boat and walked on the water. But he never looked upon Jesus in light of his death, burial, and resurrection. Because that's my second point, real quickly. Look what the Bible says. It says, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And then watch this, number two. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. See, it was at that point when Peter looked upon Jesus that he remembered the word of the Lord. Boy, it clicked. The cock crew. I believe the cock even crew a second time. But it wasn't until Peter looked upon Christ that he remembered the word of the Lord. It was there. It was in his brain. Jesus had given it to him just the night before and say, before, you're going to deny me thrice. The cock's going to crow. But Peter never remembered what the Lord had told him until he looked on the Lord and saw him in light of the cross of Calvary, the death, his burial, and his resurrection. And when Peter saw him in that different light, when he saw for the first time, and I think it clicked in his head that Jesus had to come and die for the sins of the world, when he saw it in light of that, he remembered the word of the Lord. That's the second part that brings about repentance. It's number one, we look. And then number two, we remember the word of the Lord. You know, folks, some of you have been in church a long time, many years. You've had more preaching than sermons that I preached. You've had scripture. Some of you went through Sunday school and heard the Old Testament stories, the New Testament stories. You've had so much. But you know what? It doesn't impact our lives. Peter, do you know what he heard? He heard that Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world many times. He heard that there was a cup of sorrowing. He had heard time and time again that the high priests and the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees were going to have to punish him and murder him, literally kill him. But it didn't connect. All that that teaching that Jesus gave to Peter through those months and through those 3 years that Peter was with Christ. It was there, but it didn't connect. Even that the cock would crow and it would crow twice, didn't connect. Until he looked at Jesus in light of the cross and his death and his resurrection. When he looked, the Bible says he remembered. You see, that's what brings about repentance. When we look at Jesus and see who he is and what he's done for us, number two, that's when we'll remember what we've been taught. That's when we'll remember what God has given us in his word. That's when we'll remember. The Bible says when Peter looked upon Christ and remembered the word of the Lord, let me finish that verse. And he went out in verse 62, Peter went out and wept bitterly. See, let me tell you what I believe. I think Peter went out and he went back to the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where the Lord had retreated many times with the disciples to teach him and to pray with him. Peter remembered in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus had went into the garden to pray that night, and he was more intense than he's ever been. He told me to wait here and pray, and I'm going to go a distance from you, and I'm going to pray. He prayed with such an intensity that, as a matter of fact, he prayed so hard that even great drops of blood came right. He sweat great drops of blood. But I'd fallen asleep. I was tired. Jesus came back to me 3 times and told me to pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. 3 times I fell asleep. You know, it was on that garden, or in that garden, that the guards came in. It was in the garden I watched one of our fellow disciples betray my Savior, the one I would have never guessed it in a million years. But I watched him betray Jesus with a kiss. Oh, I started to defend Christ, but he told me not to. I fled for my life. Yeah, I think Peter went back to that garden. And he wept bitterly. And it was in that garden where the Lord repented and turned to the Lord. I believe that to be the turning point in Peter's life. I think that's where it turned. And I know he still had his difficulties. But that's what turned him, because he saw Jesus in light of the cross. He saw Jesus in light of his burial. And he saw Jesus in light of the resurrection. And when you see Jesus in light of his death, burial, and resurrection, it changes everything. Because when you see Jesus in that light, you remember. You remember the word of the Lord. It's a little bit what happened to me. I was saved as a 12-year-old boy at camp. But I just didn't, it didn't connect. Oh, there were times I'd go up in my room and I'd just beat my legs silly with a hanger, one of those metal hangers, because I knew I was a sinner. I'd hang around my friends that weren't from church. I had a group of church friends and a group of friends from the school, and I'd hang around with them and do things that I know I shouldn't have done, and I knew it was wrong. And I was even sorry for it. But it was one day. Brother Holmes let me travel neighborhood Bible time with him. I was as green and raw as you could be. And he took us out there and he trains you in 3 weeks. There's training for 3 weeks, but he doesn't train you. He preaches at you. For 2 weeks, he preached Christ. He preached this very message that you need to see Christ light of the cross, light of his resurrection. I'll never forget this. One morning I got up, and he made us get up about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I prayed, and God had grabbed hold of my heart, and I took off and went up into the mountains. It was in Colorado, and his base was right at the base of a mountain. I went up partway into the mountain, went as far as I could go. I did it on a dead sprint running up. When I couldn't breathe any longer because of the altitude, I stopped. And I began to look at Jesus. And I saw him like I'd never seen him before. I saw him in light of his death. I saw him in light of the cross of Calvary, his beating. That he took my sins. And he took the wrath of God for me. And he was buried. And on the third day, he rose from the grave. And I saw Jesus. I mean this. I saw Jesus like I'd never seen him before. Then I remembered. I remembered all those Sunday school lessons. I remembered a lot of the sermons I'd sat under. I knew I was wrong in the way I was living. I fell before my face before God, and for 4 hours I wept. And I confessed. I said, God, I'm a wicked sinner. I want you to use me. But I know I don't deserve it. Boy, I came down out of that mountain that day, later afternoon. Oh, I can tell you this, I'm not perfect. I still sin. But that morning changed my life. I watched God give me the ability to travel neighborhood Bible time. My largest rally was about 1,100 kids. I'd never spoke before 20 kids before. And I saw God use an incapable servant. Why? Because I saw him. And I remembered. See, a lot of you are like Peter. You're like Peter at the denial. Oh, you know what's wrong. You know you're not living where you need to be. And you know there even might be consequences for those. But you just go on with life. You know what? You need to look. You need to look at Jesus and see him in light of the cross of Calvary. You need to look at Jesus and see him in light of his resurrection, because when he rose from the dead, he conquered sin, he conquered death, he conquered Satan, and he conquered hell for you and for me. When you see Jesus in that light, I'll make a promise to you. You'll remember. You will remember. And it'll change you today. And it'll change you tomorrow. And it'll change you, honestly, for the rest of your life. But you need to look and see Jesus this morning. Then you'll remember. We try to remember without looking to see Jesus. And if you don't look and see him in light of eternity, see him in light of the cross and what he did. That's why today, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, this Easter weekend we call it, Resurrection Sunday, I think it's so very important. I'll close with this. A funeral I preached a little bit ago. I told people, they may come up with a cure. They're raising a lot of money for a cure for cancer, and they may find that. And for all the other diseases and battles out there, people may find a cure for that. But But you know what? There's one cure you'll never find a cure for. And you know what that is? It's death. You can't conquer death. It's appointed unto man once to die. But we don't leave it there. Because there is one person who did conquer death. And that was Jesus Christ. On this day, when he rose from the dead, he conquered death. And you conquered death through Jesus Christ. But you got to look upon him. You've got to look upon him. And then when you look upon him and see the cross of Calvary and what he did for you, it causes you to remember, which causes us to repent. I think that was the changing point in Peter's life. Pastor Josh mentioned that it was later on, but I think that was the changing point in his life. Because the first time he looked upon Jesus in light of the cross, in light of his death, his burial, and a resurrection. I ask you this question this morning as I'm through. Have you looked upon Jesus in that light? Have you seen Jesus? I mean, really seen the cross. Really put in your mind what Jesus Christ did for you. And the penalty he paid that he took all your sin and imputed to you when you get saved his righteousness. When you look to Jesus that way, then you'll remember. And then you'll repent. God will use you in ways you can't even imagine. But I think you just got to look and remember. Would you look this morning? I want every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for wonderful attention on Resurrection Sunday. I know it wasn't a message totally on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I think that's what changed Peter. I think he looked for the first time. And you know what? Maybe there's somebody in this room that's sitting here right now and you've never looked upon Jesus in light of the resurrection and his death and the cross of Calvary. Oh, you may have known about church. You may even have went to church, but you never looked upon Jesus in that light. If you look upon him today, you'll be saved. Then you'll believe. And you'll remember. I'm talking to some Christians here. You've gone through the motions like Peter did. Oh, you need to know Jesus as a... You know who he is, miracle worker. You know God is a great God, creator of the world. I don't have to convince you that. You know all about him. But you need today to look in light of the cross, in light of his resurrection, and what he's done for you. And remember. Would you look and remember? This morning. Oh, God used Peter in a great way to transform this world, turn this world upside down, the Bible says. But I think on that day, he looked and he remembered and he repented. As Judy plays through just one verse, would you just take a few moments and look? Look upon Jesus. In light of the cross, in light of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, as she plays, would you look? And I promise you, if you look, it'll cause you to remember. And when you remember, it changes your life forever.